At the recent Irish Sailing Awards, Malahide Yacht Club was named the Irish Sailing Club of the Year. It's a much sought after award and there's a huge competition for it. I went to Malahide Yacht Club recently, where I met Therese Flavin and Colm Wynn. They told me about Malahide.
Hi Fergal, my name's Therese Flavin. I'm the Junior Affairs Officer for Malahide Yacht Club, and I've been in this position for the last 7 years, and I'm responsible for setting out the training programme for all of our juniors who come through the club.
We're here in the club on the hard. You've a lot of boats here, juniors, oppies, lasers. How many young sailors do you have?
We have about 80 young cadet sailors within our club, but we put through about 500 young sailors through our club over the season, which probably starts in around Easter and runs through to September.
That makes you about one of the biggest in the country?
Yes, I would believe so, Fergal. It would. We're fortunate that we have a great variety of club boats that we can use to put on that training here in our club. So we've got a lot of different classes running here, and that enables us to take in a lot of young people and train them.
These are club boats. You don't have to have your boat to come here and do a course.
No, this is the beauty of being able to do a course here. You don't have to have a boat. You don't have to have any gear. We provide everything for people starting out. So we have 16 optimists. We have 4 Fevas. We've got 3 lasers. We've got 8 Topazes, so they don't need to splash out a major amount of money to come and learn how to sail. We provide wetsuits, buoyancy aids, all of that to get children up and running. And then once they have the basics under them, we then encourage them to maybe go together to buy a boat and start buying their own equipment if they really want to continue with it.
That makes you kind of unusual in a sailing capacity, that you can provide all the equipment as a club.
Yes, it does. But I suppose it's what makes us attractive as well, is that we don't have any great barriers to have to come in to try out sailing. There's no great cost involved in people starting out, and it does encourage young people to come in and try out the sport of sailing.
It's a terrific initiative. Does your family have to be a member here?
You don't have to be a member to get involved in sailing, but generally what we find is that after a season of sailing, people actually want to come and join. So we do encourage them to join up, and to, because really sailing is really about, it's not just a one-off week of sailing. You really have to put in the practice and really improve on your skills. So we encourage children to join where possible and get involved in the club and the activities in order to keep their skills up.
When you have 500 kids, 500 students going through here every year, you must... It's a logistical nightmare, I know, even giving them lunch every day.
Yes, it is. But I have to say, one of the things that makes this so successful for us is that we have a huge amount of volunteerism in our club, and we have a fantastic instructor and assistant instructor team here who deliver our training courses. And we have very high standards here in our club. And as a JO, I'm very demanding of our team to deliver good quality training. And they are a fantastic team who deliver our training here, because there's a lot of expectations when sailors sign up here to do a course. They want good training, and we have to deliver for them. And I have to say, without the team that we have and the volunteerism that goes into it, it wouldn't be the success that it is.
Where do you get all your instructors from? Because for every 5 or 6 kids, you need an instructor.
We try and develop our instructors in-house organically, and we encourage them to go through the pathway that the IAS have set out. And I have to say, 95% of our instructor team are from within our own club. And the advantage of that is they know all of our club boats. They know the sailing ground here in Broadmeadows like the back of their hand. And they know all of the young sailors who are coming through. So it's a win-win for them. And it also keeps those young people involved in sailing when they've gone through all of their sailing, and they can then pass back on their skills to the young people. So we keep our sailors involved in our club here.
There's a bit of a debate in junior sailing. Should it be fun, or is it about a centre of excellence? Are you trying to get them to enjoy themselves? Because my belief would be, if they don't enjoy it, they're not going to come back.
One of our values in our mission statement is that sailing has to be fun. Fun is the first thing. If they're not going to enjoy it, then they're not going to stay with it. So we promote fun first of all, and for us it's all about fun, participation, friendships, and then we work then on developing their skills. but fun is the number one in our club. So we take sailors from the age of six, and we start our very young sailors on the Karen Amara programme, which was developed by Irish Sailing, and that's a fantastic starting ground for the very young sailors. And then we run all of our levels from level one right up to level four, and we run those right through the summer. Karen Amara are weekly courses, level one to level four are 2 week block courses, and then we also have level four adventures on our keel boats. So while here in Broadmeadows we do all of our dinghy sailing here from level one to four, we do our level four adventure on keel boats from our clubhouse at St James's Terrace, which we work out of Malahide Marina for.
You run a two-week course. Other places they do it over 3 weeks.
Yes, we find that a two-week course, we can cover the syllabus quite comfortably in a two-week course, and then outside of that we really encourage the sailors to continue on in the club through our club racing evenings, our fun sail evenings, to actually build on those skills, because really the two-week course gives them the guidelines. It's like, almost like driving a car. We give them the driving lessons, but really where they're going to improve and get better is outside of the sailing courses. So we encourage them to get involved in as many of our club activities as possible and to practice the skills that they have been taught, and that's where we'll see the best improvement, not by staying on to do extra weeks and extra weeks of instructor courses. They have to actually go out and practice then.
Are you still open for entries this summer, given the uncertainty we're all facing at the moment?
In fact, all our summer courses are fully booked at this stage and have been since the end of January. And that's something that happens every year with us. Unfortunately, we've had to cancel a lot of our weekend coaching that we would have up and running already by now. And our Easter camp has also been cancelled. So we're hoping that we'll be able to continue with the courses that we've set for June, July and August. And hopefully we'll all get through this.
Hi Fergal, my name is Colin Wynn. I'm the Training and Development Officer with Malahide Yacht Club, and we're in Broadmeadows today.
Congratulations, you were made Club of the Year. Tell me something about Malahide Yacht Club and your history here.
Malahide Yacht Club, I suppose we exude the qualities that we try to make sure that we keep within the club, and that's the fun, participation, and making sure that all age groups are invited in and make sure that all age groups benefit from the training and the experience here. So we're here in Broadmeadows, which is the inner estuary, and then we have the outer estuary across the railway track, and that's where the cruiser element sail from.
How long has the club been up and running? What's your history?
62 years on the go at this stage, and the history extends right the way back to some very famous people, including Lord Talbot, and all the way through to the current phase where this club here at the moment is only here about the last 8 or 9 years, and St James's Terrace is there. It used to be St James's, used to be Lord Talbot's property there in 1958. So it's steeped in history.
This is your boatyard here. What kind of facilities do you have?
Other than the launching facilities, we have a great classroom environment both upstairs and downstairs here in Broadmeadows, and also within the bar area in St James's Terrace. We also have a classroom facility there in the upper deck area. So that affords us to give the training and development opportunities that we have to add on to the sailing courses that Therese was telling about earlier.
What about your adult membership? What's that like? What kind of boats do they sail, and do they race around here?
Yeah, the adult members sail in dinghies and indeed in the cruisers, but we're always trying to get parents like myself who once leant against a railings looking at their own children sailing and then got into sailing in later life. So bringing the adults in, I suppose getting them on the water here in the first instance, or albeit crewing with the experienced crew cruiser skippers in St James's Terrace. But we also add a lot of other courses that we make available to all age groups, so we have children and adults training together.
For adults, do you run your own races here during the summer?
Generally run our own races here, but again it's all about club mixing with other clubs and getting experience with other clubs as well. So during the winter period the Lasers for instance would have actually sailed over in Holt during that peak winter season.
Your sailing grounds here are right in the estuary. It looks perfect for kids, for young adults, flat, calm, sheltered.
Yeah, we're very lucky with the inner estuary, and it makes all year-round sailing possible. The club, the other courses that we offer include instructor courses and I suppose refresher courses for instructors that are renewing their two-yearly certificate. It allows us to run those courses here on an all year-round basis, where maybe on the open sea the conditions may be quite rough. So that is one of the benefits of this area.
You were made the Irish Sailing Association Club of the Year. lots of people strive for this. Why do you think you won it, or what did they say to you?
Well, I think, I suppose it came naturally insofar as that we had an awful lot of participation. We had an awful lot of participation from all age groups. We run a broad range of courses from VHF through to Introduction to Power Boating, which starts the children off at a very early stage at 14 years of age to get their Introduction to Power Boating certificate. Growing on that, they can start their VHF course when they're 15, moving through and developing their skills in terms of the emergency care courses, preparing them for instructor programmes, moving through to safeguarding courses. Again, all these courses here are available at Malahide. So once you get that level of courses going, not only do you get the juniors involved, but you also get adults like myself involved taking courses in later life.
And is that why you were made Sailing Club of the Year? Or were they able to tell you specifically what you did? How did they mark you?
I think it's been a great recognition of the high quality of training that we've provided here at Malahide Yacht Club, because we have very high standards and we continually improve on that every year. And we've had a huge amount of volunteerism and support from within our club. And we've got huge support as well from Irish Sailing for our training over the last number of years. So I think it's been a great recognition of all the hard work and volunteerism that has gone on in the club over the past number of years to bring our club up to good high quality standards and deliver excellent courses. And I think really that's the recognition that has come now for what we've done here.
Did you have a big celebration?
Yeah, unfortunately not, but it's not the time for celebration at the moment. We can celebrate by the fact that we won the award. Will there be a celebration? Absolutely. Did the club feel the benefit of the award? Absolutely. The thrill and the honour of it is everlasting, but let there be no doubt there will be celebrations when we're all back together within closer than 2 metres to each other.
Therese, you've had an awful lot of individuals, successful individuals here over the years.
Since the club was founded in 1958, we've had 28 national champions and 6 Olympians in that time, which is a huge record for any club to have. Four of those Olympian champions have come back to our club and have given back to our young people here through coaching and training. And our young sailors look up to them. And it's been a great motivation for our young sailors and to have these people to aspire to. So it's a great recognition of those people who've come to our club. And they all sailed here on the Broad Meadows as juniors themselves. And they started with the junior training program. And I do believe that Dave Wilkins is the second only Olympian after Annalise Murphy who won a silver medal for Ireland.
And congratulations to Therese and Colm and all at Malahide Yacht Club. In the interests of social distancing, I recorded that interview outdoors and using a long boom microphone. That was the rattling noise you heard. On last week's programme, we heard how the coronavirus was affecting commercial fisheries and the shipping sector. It's also shut down most sailing in the country, but not fully for Eddie English and Cork Sailing. He's gone online, and you can now take some of his courses online. I spoke to Eddie earlier by Skype, and he told me about it.
Well, Fergal, the first thing is everything came to an abrupt stop just before Paddy's Day, as it did with the rest of the nation, and we had to cancel our evening navigation and passage planning classes. We had to cancel our VHF radio courses, our powerboat courses, our dinghy sailing courses, our yachting courses. Everything just stopped. And, you know, we looked at ways we could communicate with the people to tell them, first of all. But then we said maybe we could do some of our stuff online. We looked at doing some of the certificated stuff, the theory element of our certificated courses online, and that didn't really work out, you know, too much of a change involved there. But then we looked at our own courses that we run in passage planning, and they're not certificated, they're our own courses, so we can do what we like with them. And we came up with the idea of, with our first one, Hidden Cork Harbour, bringing people around Cork Harbour with a pilotage point of view and with a historical point of view and with a human interest point of view. Instead of doing it over one night in a classroom, we presented it over 3 evenings online. And it's been a fantastic success beyond our wildest dreams. We've had amazing engagement. It's a two-way process because our pupils were able to ask us questions and we could reply to those.
How is this working? Is it by Zoom, by Skype, or what are you doing?
Well, we looked at the various technologies. We compared them all, and Zoom seemed to be the one that suited us best for what we were doing. Bit of an educational process there, a steep learning curve. But we practiced it, and before we went live with any of our pupils, we went through the whole series of presentations with our team of instructors. So it's been a great education for them as well. And it has worked out extremely well.
The one you're doing next week is going from Yeovil to Mizenhead along the south coast.
Yeah, the Cork coast is about 250 miles long, believe it or not. So we divided that into two. So we're doing part one next week, which is from Yeovil to Mizen, as you said. And then we further break that down into two over two evenings. And we start off in the town of Yeovil, and we have a look around Yeovil itself, as any skipper would do a bit of research into where they're going. And with Yeovil as a destination, it's an amazing historic town. You've got Myrtle Grove, Sir Walter Raleigh's house. You've got the walls. You've got the clock tower. You've got St. Mary's Collegiate House. You've got the quays. You've got all that. And then, of course, we have to look at where can we tie up.
Yeovil is not best served for tying up.
Well, it's getting better. They put down a pontoon off the main pier for the summer months. And that has worked out extremely well over the last couple of years. And in fact, there's a harbour master resident in Yeovil now, Liam Keating. And it is more of a place to visit. It's still not the best venue in a southerly, but we have visited Yeovil on our cruising courses and found it a really great spot to go to.
I'll show off now by saying that you come out of Yeovil and then Ballycotton is probably your next stop.
One in between, Fergal. Okay. There's Knockadoon, which is just inside Capel Island. And then, of course, there's the history of Capel Island with its half a lighthouse up on top of it. And then it's on to Ballycotton. And Ballycotton have really been working hard at improving the place. And we've had good visits to Ballycotton. There's County Council moorings at Ballycotton. In certain conditions, it's a very sheltered place to go and a good spot to go with good restaurants and pubs ashore. And of course, then it's on to Cork Harbour, but we're not covering that next week because we've spent all of last week doing Cork Harbour. And then we move on to Roberts Cove, Noble Cove, Oyster Haven, and then Kinsale. And Kinsale is worth exploring.
And yeah, again, and would you cover actually going into Kinsale, because it is quite tricky going, it's a big, long inlet going in there.
Well, the first thing about Kinsale is it's an extremely well-marked harbour, and the entrance is sheltered from the west, where our prevailing winds come from. You've got the old head of Kinsale looping out beyond it to the west, so giving shelter at the harbour entrance. The harbour entrance gives trouble all right in the southerly, and especially if there's a falling spring tide. And then, of course, you've got the Bulman outside Kinsale. You've got to think of that. But going into Kinsale itself, it's fairly well marked. You've got the lighthouse in Charlesfort, and you've got three lateral buoys on the way in, keeping you away from the shallow area off Jamesfort. And you've got a choice of marinas in Kinsale.
Yeah, you've very got, well served with facilities.
It is. It's fantastic. I'm lucky enough to have been going into Kinsale for many, many years. We used to go on our family holiday in our motorboat down there in the 60s. And, of course, things have changed a lot since then, especially with the marinas. But you have great facilities ashore in terms of the social facilities, bars, restaurants, hotels, etc. And there's always a buzz about Kinsale. And it's a really good marina, the Yacht Club Marina. And, of course, you've got the Trident Marina, small little marina where Sovereign Sailing are based. And then you've got the marina over in Castle Park. So, and there's shelter, very, very good shelter in Kinsale. And so, then, of course, we go around the corner and there's the anchorage at Hole Open East and Hole Open West. It's a bay on the extremity of the old head with big, big cliffs to shelter you. But it's very rewarding, more especially on the western side with the colonies of seabirds that are living in the area. So if you've got an easterly breeze, it's worth anchoring on the western side of the old head. If you've got a westerly breeze, you should be anchoring on the eastern side. And then, of course, there's a trick of getting around the old head and avoiding the tidal race. And then there's the challenge of Cormac Sherry Bay. You can take the easy way out and just leave Black Tom to starboard and in for the entrance. Or you can skirt the bay and avoid the Barrel Rocks and Black Tom and Blue Boy Rock. Then there's the bar on the way into Cormac Sherry. And we talk about tidal conditions and wind conditions that suit and don't suit for each port. Cormac Sherry, for example, in a northwester isn't the best because it's well open to the northwest.
Sailing all along that coast, it's all very well charted. It's safe. You can go right and close to shore.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the special treats that we try and give ourselves is if there's a northerly, we skirt the bays, go right in and look at all the little coves and creeks and anchor in unusual places. So we talk about that on this course because a lot of people just go headland to headland. Like there's only 7 miles between the Old Head and the Seven Heads. But if you take hang a right and go into Garrettstown and along the shore to House Strand, etc., it's very, very interesting. And I suppose it started for me when I was delivering boats, a lot of boats in the 80s and the 90s. And I'd bring some of our young instructors with us. And in order to keep them occupied and keep their minds off feeling ill, I brought them right in and skirted all the bays and looked at all the interesting places that they could see. It's well worth it, very rewarding. We've got a beautiful coastline, an amazing coastline. And in certain conditions, we can go in closer and inspect it and maybe stop in certain places and enjoy what it's got to offer.
So you would then go on down, we'd skip over a few places, Castle Townsend, roundabout to Baltimore and Skull, all of that area.
Absolutely. And there's a larger portion of the second part next week devoted to the area from Baltimore Beacon to Crookhaven Lighthouse, because that is an amazing area. It deserves a course on its own. We haven't fully developed it yet. But as you know, the Baltimore area is fantastic and it's second home for me.
Again, yeah, you need your pilotage around that area because there are a lot of rocks.
There's lots of hazards, but lots of rewards as well. And the pilotage, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And again, exploring it in sailboats as a kid was fantastic. Then going on to bigger boats. But really, I got to explore it in total depth when I started teaching powerboating in the area down there. When we ran courses in Baltimore, Skull and Crookhaven, we got to inspect every inch of the place and converted that into good pilotage. And use the same pilotage for our sailboats when we're down there teaching yachting. Yeah, I must say, no, it is a fantastic place to sail.
This course is running next week over how many nights?
We're running it over 2 nights, Wednesday and Thursday evening. On Wednesday evening, we start in Yawl, we go along the coast, and we go as far as the Galley Head. And we talk a little bit about the history, too, of the Galley Head, especially with its own gasworks and everything else. And I'm lucky enough to have stayed in the Galley Head and have the guidance of Ger Butler, who was a lighthouse keeper there for many years. And then our second night, we go from the Galley Head and we go along Glandor Bay, the islands, Castle Townsend, inside the Stags, inside the Kedge Rocks and into Baltimore, and then spend most of that evening in the area between Baltimore, Skull and Crookhaven, Cape Clear, the Fastnet Rock. What a fantastic place, and looking forward to going there.
How long is each evening, and how do you register?
Registration is just log on to sailcork.com, and on the home page you'll see information on our pilotage and passage planning courses, and on the Sail Cork Facebook page as well. And each evening will last about an hour and a half. They'll be broken down into subsections to give people two opportunities to ask questions and to get themselves a cup of tea and sit back and relax, because there is an advantage to this online stuff. You're in the comfort of your own home. You can chill out and relax. And people have, it worked extremely well last week, and we're looking forward to more of this online learning at Sail Cork.
And if you're missing going to sea or the water over the next week, log on to Sail Cork to take one of those courses.